May God's words alone be spoken. May God's words alone be heard. Amen. Amen. I want to wish all the women here a very happy Mother's Day. Now, I, for one, got a nice card from my dog, Lexi, and my two cats, Katie and Lauren, complete with paw prints. Their grandma, my mother, helped them with the whole thing, of course. But as I note every year, this is also a difficult day, or one that brings about mixed feelings for many. Those whose mothers have died, or those whose mothers are absent, in whatever way that may mean, or those mothers who have lost a child, or those women who could not have one. For them, Mother's Day can be troubling, awkward, or even painful. And if that is you, know that we, your parish family, are holding you in prayer. And so as I also say each year, that's why I like to think of today as less about mothers specifically and more about women, mothers, sisters, daughters, aunts, nieces, and friends. Women who have been a part of our lives, nurturing, mentoring, loving, caring. That's what we really celebrate today. The journey of women, us if we are women, and those women who have been a part of our lives. Which is why this passage from the Acts of the Apostles we heard this morning is such a powerful text for us today. It is the story of a disciple of Jesus. No, not Peter, though he is a part of it. It's the story of Tabitha, her name in Hebrew, also known to her community as Dorcas, her name in Greek. Both of which mean gazelle, or beauty and grace. Of course, when I think of the name Tabitha, my mind goes right to Bewitched, that sitcom from the 60s. You know, Tabitha was the daughter of Samantha, the witch, married to a very regular man named Darren. Y'all remember this show, right? I thought it would be so cool to be her or her mom. I mean, when my mom would tell me to clean my room, I wanted to just wiggle my nose and make it all happen, you know, right? Like they did? Heck, I want that now. I mean, maybe that's why I love Harry Potter so much, because I'd love to just have a wand and I just wave it and all my office paperwork goes magically into the files. Or my house would just tidy itself up. How many of y'all want one of those, right? Yeah, I think so. But that's not the Tabitha we're talking about. And still this Tabitha, the one for whom Peter was summoned, worked magic of her own. It's the kind of magic all of us are capable of doing, no wiggling of noses or wands required. Truth be told, it isn't really magic at all, though the effect may seem as marvelous to those who witness it. So let's hear her story. The first thing we hear about her is in the opening of the text. It says, now in Joppa there was a disciple whose name was Tabitha, which in Greek is Dorcas. She was devoted to good works and acts of charity. Now let me just repeat this part. There was a disciple whose name was Tabitha. This is the only time in the Bible where a woman is named a disciple, or mathetria in the original Greek. Now we know that Tabitha isn't the only female disciple, right? Just a few weeks ago on Easter Sunday, we hear about Mary called Magdalene. In fact, it was this gospel text we heard today that I brought forward on Easter Sunday, because in it Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And Mary recognized Jesus in the garden outside the tomb, not by sight, but when he called to her. She then called him teacher, something only a disciple would do. The author of Acts, where we hear about Tabitha, is also the author of the Gospel of Luke, where we hear that it was women followers of Jesus, otherwise known as disciples, who supported his ministry out of their means. The women made it possible. So Tabitha wasn't the only female disciple, but she must have really stood out to not only be named as such, but really to be named at all. So many women, powerful women, are not named in our Bible, or quite frankly, are the hidden figures of our society. That's why when Tabitha was named as one of the saints in Lent Madness, I was rooting for her. Now, for those who, for reasons I just can't fathom, do not know what Lent madness is, how many of you know what Lent madness is? Oh, my goodness. Okay, it is the Episcopal version of March Madness. Only instead of college basketball teams, there's 32 saints of the church who do battle to claim the coveted golden halo. Now, our girl Tabitha was rocking it in the original battle, defeating Dismas, the redemptive criminal crucified with Jesus, in an absolute rout in the first round. But much to my frustration, she was up against another fab woman saint, Fotini, in the saintly 16 round, where she went down in flames. She never made it to the Elite Eight or the Faithful Four. Fotini, if you don't know, is the name given to the unnamed woman at the well in John 4, who has one of the most engaging theological discussions with Jesus ever recorded. Still, I'm happy with the ultimate winner of the golden halo. Anybody know who that is? It's that woman of work and prophetic explanations, Martha of Bethany. Yep, she won it, leaving her sister Mary in the dust after they were paired against one another in the first round. But we are not in Lent anymore. We are in Eastertide. And that is one of the reasons Tabitha's story is so important for us to hear now. Yes, partly because it is one of death and resurrection. She was dead and was raised back to life through Peter's intercession. But it's also about what it means for us when we die, when those we love die, and the new life springs forward from those experiences. Because we learn all about Tabitha not from her own words, but from those who are deeply grieved by her death. The widows of town come to bathe her body and to mourn her. They send men to find Peter to bring him in when they heard he was in the nearby town. What were they hoping for when they told him to come without delay? Whatever it was, this was Peter's first pastoral call, and when he arrived, he entered into a room full of mourners. I know that feeling. Every priest knows that feeling. I've been the one entering that hospital room or that bedroom in a home where someone lay dying or already dead, where the family stood not knowing what to do next as they stood in that shadow of the death, hoping beyond hope that the words we heard in the psalm today were true. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I know that place, Peter walked into. And oh, how I wished every time that I could dismiss everyone from the room to change what had happened or was about to happen. The truth is, though, as hard as that is, it is harder to be the one standing in the room. I've been there too, and so have many of you. We feel the pain of those grieving Tabitha. We understand their wailing, and so perhaps we can honor that by paying attention to them, because they tell us a lot about Tabitha and a lot about who we are and who we're supposed to be. The story tells us that when Peter arrived, the widows were standing there weeping and showing the clothes that she had woven for them, displaying openly her good works and acts of charity. Think about that for a moment, because we seem to have lost the significance of what they were saying in that moment. Today, most people are able to find clothing already made and ready to wear. Heck, in our disposable world, they even sell, I kid you not, travel clothing meant to be disposed of after wearing it once or twice. A sad commentary on our economic injustice, to be sure. Yet not too long ago, if you didn't make it, you didn't have it. Our grandmothers had clothing made for them, and they in turn made them for us. Some people still make clothes for their family. Sadly, this skill seems to have been lost on me. I did once want to learn how to knit. And while visiting my grandma in Beckley, West Virginia, she tried to teach me. God bless her, really. And while I seemed to get the knack of it while I was there, I had an issue when I got back home. I was trying to make a scarf and it kept getting wider and wider. And so I called my grandma and she said, "Now, Diana, you've got to count." Now, that was just too much work. I mean, I had to concentrate on math and on the stitching. I'm hopeless in the making of clothes department. Apparently, though, this sort of thing isn't genetic, as my grandma had made many outfits for me when I was little. I remember shopping for patterns with her at the local piece goods shop in Beckley. I was never really happy about it because she wanted to make nice little dresses for me and I wanted a baseball uniform or a cowboy outfit. But these are now good memories for me. What I didn't realize until I was older was that this wasn't just for fun. This is what families did to get by. I remember my dad telling me that when he was young and working in my grandfather's grocery store, the women in town would come in and go to the back where bags of feed were sold to farmers for livestock. They would look them over very carefully, trying to see if there were any with nice patterns on the bag. And if they found one they liked, they would have the lads in the store, my dad included, unpack these heavy feed bags, which were stacked from floor to ceiling, until they could get to the lady the bag she wanted. My dad lamented that it never seemed to be the top bag that they needed. Why all of the fuss over a particular bag of feed? They made clothing out of the material from the bag. And later my dad told me he would see people wearing skirts or shirts made from those bags around town, which were passed down among family members until they were worn beyond hope. All this to say that the making of clothing is not only an art, but until recently, and still true in many parts of our country and the world, provided the only clothing one might have for oneself or family members. For widows in the time of Tabitha, articles of clothing would have been more valuable than gold, for they were without means of support. That is why Jesus calls us to care for the widows and orphans, for they were and are the least of these in which we are to see the face of Jesus. Tabitha saw them. Tabitha took care of them out of her means and by her own hand. She was a true disciple of Christ, and when she died, they were in despair for the loss of one who loved them as he loved us. The question for all of us today is, when we die, who will be standing in that room? And what will they be showing to others of how we impacted their lives? What will they miss most about us? What are we sowing into the hearts of others? How do they know us as disciples of Jesus Christ? Who will weep for us? And for our church, the same can be asked. In fact, our bishop asked this very question of us in her visit, right? If we were to close our doors, who in the community would miss us? Whom do we serve? Who calls this place a safe or welcoming home for them to gather? How does our community know us as disciples of Christ other than by the name of our church? Of course, we know the answer to the question about the church because we know the ministry we do here and the people who call this place home. The New Jersey Reading Orchestra, PFLAG, Parents and Friends of Lesbians and Gays, the Bolshoi Music Studio, the Cub Scout Pinewood Derby, the local animal shelters, the local food pantry, the Children and Parents Armor Nursery School, and so many more. But what about us? Tabitha reminds us of who we should aspire to be, a faithful disciple of Jesus. And yet we know that living our life in Christ doesn't have to involve talent or means. It just requires that we look beyond our own needs to those of others. As my dad was telling me about the feed bags, it reminded him of another moment in his life. It was when we had moved to Maryland from Long Island and my parents were struggling to make ends meet. My mom trying to stretch $5 into a week of food for a family of four. My dad had returned to Long Island where they were really trying to get our former house sold. And as he was leaving, my mom gave him a bag of clothing filled with things I couldn't fit into anymore. And dad took them to our former pastor's house. When his wife saw the clothing, she wept. They had three daughters younger than me, and they apparently were in need themselves. I guarantee you, the dresses were in great shape too for having hardly been worn. So you see, our lives in Christ are being faithful. Tabitha, the disciple in the world, doesn't necessarily involve superhuman acts of piety or prophetic witness, though it could. It doesn't even require the talent of making clothes. The truth is that it likely comes in more simple ways, like remembering that the clothes we no longer wear may bring tears to the eyes of someone for whom those garments are only a pipe dream. It means caring for others, the one whom Jesus called us to see, and in doing this, it is our own life we are saving. I'm reminded of a story by B. Salazar in Fast Company, a magazine I used to read a lot when I was in business. And she wrote, "In 1990, I had undergone back surgery and was on disability. I was depressed and just getting through each day. One afternoon, when I was putting out the trash, I saw a little boy digging in a dumpster for food. I took him inside and made him a peanut butter and jelly sandwich and sent him home. 15 minutes later, there was a knock at my door, and I opened it to find 6 more kids standing there. 'Is it true that you're giving away peanut butter and jelly sandwiches?' one of them asked. I couldn't believe that there was no one caring for these kids. It was summer, and school was out. They told me that their parents had to work. The next day, more children showed up, and more arrived the day after that. When school began, the kids came back, and they asked for help with homework. Volunteers and supplies from local churches and schools poured in. My landlord donated an apartment, and soon I had 100 children coming to visit each day. 10 years later, 5 of the kids have begun community college. I never thought that making one peanut butter and jelly sandwich would grow into something that would affect so many lives, especially mine. Those kids pulled me out of my own pain and started concentrating on somebody else's. It's true that when you help others, you help yourself. On this Mother's Day, as we remember the good works of Tabitha, the disciple of Jesus, let us consider the women in our lives who have exemplified discipleship to us and give thanks for them. And let us also model them, the Tabithas of our lives, by being the living members of the body of Christ, caring for the widows and orphans of today, the lonely, the lost, the least, and the last. For what may seem as small as a PB&J sandwich may just be the very thing which saves countless other lives, including our own. We are all Tabitha, but we are faithful disciples who died and rose again in Christ in our baptism. May our final days leave such a legacy of good works and charity, of faithfulness and prayer, of loving and serving in his name, that those gathered weep for our having touched their lives with grace, while heaven rejoices, saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant of the Lord." Amen.